May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn 307.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We will read together the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. First epistle of Peter, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And may God bless that reading of his holy word. May he now teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, we would seek a spirit of reverence and godly fear as we come into thy house this evening. We pray that we may ever have a right view of thee. We pray, Lord, that we may come before thee in that right spirit and in a right frame of mind. And we pray and thank thee for the mercies that gather us here together this evening in this house of prayer around thy word. And we pray, Lord, thy blessing upon the service of thy house here this evening. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt look down in love and mercy upon a group of poor sinners. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant us that gracious help in the preaching of the word and in the hearing of it. We pray that thou wilt work in at both ends of the matter, that we might know faith mixed with our hearing, that thy word may be clothed with power from on high, and that though it's delivered in weakness, may it be in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt seal thy word into our hearts, that we might know the application of it. We pray, Lord, that there may be those here this evening who have come up to thy house with a desire to hear thy voice. And we pray, Lord, that thou grant them the wishes of their hearts. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy upon us. We do thank thee, gracious God, for thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the ground of acceptance in him. We thank thee for the new and living way, and that way of approach, where poor, needy sinners may come and plead that worthy and all-prevailing name of Jesus. And we pray that we may each know what it is to plead that name and find acceptance in the Beloved. And so we pray, draw us to thyself. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've come, the needs of our hearts, the concerns that we have. Lord, thou knowest our down-sitting and our uprising. Lord, thou seest us as no man doth see us. Lord, thou seest into the very hearts of each one of us. Thou knowest the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that each who have come here this evening may come in faith, may come in that right way, may have a desire toward the worship of thy great and holy name. Lord, may the outward witness of entering into thy house this evening be the evidence of the desire of the heart within. Lord, for how solemn if we are here in body, but our minds are elsewhere. And so we pray, save us from just the outward form, the coming and going, another empty round of service. Lord, we pray that we might come with an honest heart before thee, and that our desire might be to worship thee. And so, Lord, do bless us with thy gracious presence, that thy Spirit may work in us and for us, and that we might know Spirit-led worship. And Lord, we pray that thou draw out from us a spirit of real prayer. And Lord, there might be that casting all our care upon thee. So grant us, Lord, a view of who thou art. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. So may we be bold in the knowledge of a gracious and almighty Saviour. We may come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thou knowest, Lord, each need here this evening. Needs in providence and needs of souls. The needs that some have in their daily lives, their business, their work, their education, their children, their families, their circumstances. Lord, there are many needs. Day by day we have needs. And we do pray that we might bring these before thee. That it might be your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And help us to take no thought for tomorrow, but to rest in those promises and rest in faith. And so, Lord, may we lay these things before thee. May they not be a hindrance, a distraction to us as we gather round thy word. We pray that we may not be careful and troubled about many things, but that we might be brought to see that one thing needful. Lord, Satan would use anything to steal away thy word. We pray, Lord, then, that thou art work in us that we might be that good ground which receives the word in faith. And the seed enters in and brings forth fruit. And so may thy word enter in and bring forth fruit to thy honour and glory, and for the good of our never dying souls. But Lord, may we not be that thorny ground where the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Lord, we live busy lives, but may we not be too busy. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we might redeem the time. Oh, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray, open up each eye and each heart, and open up the ear to hear. And Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Oh, do shine forth with power and life and light and liberty upon thy word. Shine into our hearts and lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Oh, we pray that the Son of Righteousness might arise with healing in his wings, and shine with healing mercies into poor, broken, contrite hearts. Oh, we pray, breathe life into the dry bones. Lift up those that are downcast. Strengthen the weak. And Lord, satisfy thy poor with bread. Oh, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, both providentially and spiritually. Lord, we would not live on past blessings. We're thankful for them if we have them. And we look back in deep gratitude for them. But Lord, we need feeding today. Oh Lord, do lead us to that fountain of living water. Oh, break the bread of life even here this evening, and satisfy us, Lord, with thy word and thyself. Oh, may thy spirit come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Oh, may we be found looking unto Jesus. Oh, then, Lord, do draw us to thyself. May our eyes be upward. Oh, may there be those who have come this night with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. Lord, thou knowest, only thou canst satisfy the longing heart. And so, Lord, do have mercy upon us. We're poor sinners. Lord, we pray that we might know spirit of confession of our sins. Lord, we pray that we might pour out our hearts before thee. Lord, we pray that thou help us to turn out the tents of our hearts. Lord, there are things that we should do. We should render unto the Lord, and we haven't. And there are things, Lord, that we should not have taken, and we've hidden them within our hearts. And we pray, Lord, bring us to thy feet. Oh, not the feet of Joshua, where there was no room in the law for mercy, but to the feet of Jesus. And may our petition be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, do then bless each who are here this evening. Remember those unable to be here. Be with those who would be here but are unable. May their prayers, their desires be toward us as we meet here. And bless them where they are, we pray. We ask, Lord, that thou be with those who have no desire. Lord, we pray that thou would work in them and bring them into want, Lord, and cause them to call upon thee. Oh, we pray that thou wilt have mercy then. Be with any who may have left. Lord, we have those in our families, those that we know and love, who have seemingly gone off. We do pray, Lord, that it might please thee to awaken them. Lord, who bring back to their remembrance some things they once heard. Oh, may there be some seeds of thy word in deep within their hearts. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would quicken them. Make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, may returning prodigals find that though they're base, their father's kind. May we not be discouraged, Lord, as we look for the signs of return. But may we rather know what it is to wrestle in prayer for them. And Lord, we pray that we may give thee no rest. And so help us, Lord, to pray for one another. May we bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Remember the congregation. Gather into the church, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we pray for this neighbourhood, for thou hast planted here a church. And we pray, Lord, that thou gather in from this village and from this neighbourhood. And it might please thee to bring in praying, seeking, longing souls. There might be that building up in numbers and in grace, establishing in thy word. And Lord, we pray for thy gracious work in the churches scattered throughout this country and throughout the earth. Lord, in a day of small things, yet, Lord, thou art still working. And we beseech thee to pour out thy spirit and bring sinners to thy feet. Lord, we pray that thou pour out thy blessing and remember us in this land and nation and turn us unto thee and revive thy work. Lord, do have mercy, we pray. Lord, we live in uncertain times. Lord, we live in troublesome times, confusing times. But we do thank thee that thou art still on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Oh, we pray that we may behold all these things, and it might bring us to the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, we pray there might be those that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. So remember the children and the young people. We thank thee for the baby, and we pray thy blessing upon the families and parents looking after children. And Lord, we pray that thou put thy fear in the hearts of our children, that they may not depart from thee all the days of their lives. May the little baby who is found in the house of prayer, may she ever be found in thy house of prayer. May, Lord, it please thee to raise up pillars in the churches. May there be that seed to serve thee here, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. May there be a cause of truth here, gracious God, to the end of time, and take not thy Holy Spirit from them. Unite them in thy fear and in thy love, and bless them, Lord, with thy rich blessings. So help us, we pray. Be with any with mountains, difficulties, perplexities, troubles of one sort or another. Lord, we pray that thou would have mercy upon them and grant an overruling hand of love and mercy, and may they prove all things work together for good. Oh, may the end of the thing prove to be better than the beginning, that the bud may have a bitter taste, oh, but may sweet will be the flower. May it be so, we beseech thee. Oh, then have mercy. Bless us as we turn to thy word, and take us home in peace and safety at the close of this service. And may there be something that remains. May there be something done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. O Lord, glorify thyself. Here we pray. That sinners might be laid low, the precious Christ lifted up. We ask with the pardon of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
you turn with me to the chapter we read, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verses 7 and 8. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, wherefore, whereunto also they were appointed. Peter begins this chapter and really he's encouraging the readers of this epistle to lay aside malice and guile and hypocrisies, those things which are not becoming followers of the Lamb. How easy it is for us to become embroiled, ensnared, and taken up with these things. But well, the encouragement here to lay them aside. They're not needful. They're not edifying. They're not becoming professors of Christ Jesus. He says, but rather be as newborn babes. And a newborn babe desires the milk, and so lay aside these things, these unnecessary things, and seek after those things which are to satisfy. The milk of the word, that you may grow, that there may be some spiritual growth, a growing in grace, a growing in faith, and a growing in love. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, what a beautiful expression. That if so be ye have tasted. Have you and I, have we had a taste of how gracious God is? How gracious God is in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved friends, if we get a taste, oh, you won't be satisfied with it. You want more and more. Oh, if God gives you, by the gift of his Spirit, an appetite for the things of God. Oh, what a hunger, what a thirst, what a desire will be upon your heart. Oh, a taste. Have we tasted? Tasted that the Lord is gracious? Has he blessed you with a visit, an answer to prayer, a deliverance, maybe in providence? How much more wonderful in grace. Have you tasted of the things of God, the mercy that is in Jesus? Brought maybe to feel your wretchedness, your ruined state by nature. Oh, and the Lord has given you a little taste of that fullness which is in Christ. Oh, a little taste of the forgiveness of sin. He's lifted from your heart the guilt and the condemnation. Oh, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. He says, to whom coming as a living stone. Christ is set forth as a living stone. Oh, it's a beautiful expression, isn't it? A living stone. disallowed indeed of men, despised and rejected in the eyes of natural man. But what about in the eyes of God? Chosen of God. Chosen of God. And precious. Oh, may we have may the Lord bless us. May God bless us with a view that of the Father's love to his beloved Son. Oh, may we have something revealed to us of that love. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, he's well satisfied, well pleased with his Son. Oh, how pleasing to poor, lost, ruined, needy sinners who see everything in themselves as displeasing to God. Everything in themselves that is contrary to God and to his revealed will and word, and yet in his beloved Son. Oh, the love of the Father. The love of the Father. The love of the Son, the love of the Spirit. Oh, what a sweet meditation is in the Blessed Trinity, beloved friends. May God reveal it, reveal to us. Oh, how dear, how precious the Son is to the Father. This is my beloved Son. Oh, then what superabounding, overwhelming love it must be towards his poor, sinful people that he would give his only begotten Son. Oh, he would willingly give his Son to make a way, to bring about an everlasting salvation. Oh, may we know what it is to ponder on these things. On such love, my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Oh, that in his Son, is everything for guilty, wretched sinners. Oh, ruined in sin. Everything is there in Christ Jesus. A full and frank forgiveness of sin. Blotting out of every sin in that precious blood. And a righteousness. Oh, so suitable. And yet so free. So costly. What a cost it came at. And yet so freely bestowed. So freely given. Oh, he is indeed disallowed indeed of men. See no beauty in him. See no desire in him. Doesn't measure up to their expectations. Doesn't fit what they would have. Feel no need, no desire toward him. We must have this man to reign over us. And what about the Israelite who had the promise of the Messiah? Who, when coming to his own received him not. Why? Despised him. A meek, a lowly, loving Jesus. Derided, ridiculed, rejected. Everything prophesied, everything in their worship pointing to, and yet having come, he didn't fit. He didn't fit their expectation. He didn't measure up in their esteem. They saw no beauty in him. Oh, they were looking for something, and yet, oh, he was rejected. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Ye also as lively stones, built up a spiritual house a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. As he is a living stone, so then also are his dear children, lively stones made alive. You've got two things here, haven't you? You've got something that's living, but it's a stone, a living stone. There's something solid. What, you say, what, in the child of God? Well, in that building, which is fitly and framed, not made with hands, that building which is the body of the church, Christ the head. Oh, they're lively stones. They're shaped. Oh, there's work attended to by the Spirit, the working of God. There's a trial of their faith. It's a straight and narrow way. And his people are shaped and they're formed. And they're fitted into that building. But it's a living building. And they're made strong. And there's something solid in their religion. And it's not of their making and their doing. The solidness of their hope and their faith is not in their works or in themselves. They're made strong through the power of God. Oh, the strength is God's. The solid foundation is Christ. Ye also as lively stones, not dead, but lively, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." He's laid it, beloved friends. The foundation is laid. Oh, may you and I be found standing, built upon that foundation. Elect, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Or in Isaiah, where this is taken from, shall not make haste. Or as Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 9, he says, shall not be ashamed. Paul, in writing to the Romans in chapter 9, says concerning the Gentiles, he said that the Gentiles, is verse 30, that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Or why not? How come? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offence, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." I wonder if you and I find Christ Jesus to be a rock of offence, a stumbling stone. Writing to the Corinthians, he says this: for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. How solemn! Oh, it's foolishness to the wisdom of the so-called wise, and to the children of promise, what was it? A stumbling block. What was the cross of Christ? Christ crucified, a stumbling block to them. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. The Jews were seeking to work out their own righteousness. And a perfect righteousness is set before them in Christ Jesus, and yet they're looking to their own, attending to the works of the law. Well, I wonder if you and I are, I wonder if there's some here maybe who are, you're not like the Jews who are working out the, attending to the ceremonial law. But are you trying to work the works of salvation? Salvation by works? Beloved friends, it's all of grace. Your works and mine have no place, no part in salvation. Oh, but how many are seeking to work out their own salvation, a salvation by works, who look into the scriptures concerning believing and are under the impression that that faith comes from believing, and have things in the wrong order. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Faith does not come from believing. The fruit of faith is believing. And it is faith, God-given faith, that it is a gift of God. And the fruit of that gift of faith is believing. Oh, it's that which makes a true believer. Faith given by God. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Oh, well, what's the evidence then? Oh, that I have true living faith. What is the evidence then that I am a real believer? Well, you see, there were those in Holy Scripture set before us. The devils are set before us as believing in the natural way of, in the knowledge of it. You think of those evil spirits, that evil spirit that spoke in Acts chapter 19. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And think of the in Epistle of James, where James says, you believe in one God, so do the devil. No, we must have more than a natural knowledge. Oh, what a necessity it is! How vital it is! How separating it is to be made as a true believer. And that, beloved friends, oh, the gift of God. To be a true believer. I wonder if there's some of you here that, the Lord has touched your heart with some knowledge of your sin and eternity. Deep down, you know you're not right. You're not ready. But it's who is he, Lord,
that I might believe on him. And you think, you see others and they seem to believe so easily. With you it's, oh, could I but believe. But it seems so simple. It's so simple in the letter of it. With the A plus B equals C, it seems so simple, and yet, why do I still feel not ready? Where's the peace which comes through believing? Surely there should be peace in believing. We're told it in the Word of God. Then why do I feel so troubled? Why do I feel so guilty? Well, why do I feel so unready, unprepared? Why is eternity such a tremendous sound? Why am I not like those who are saying and praying, even so, come Lord Jesus? Why have I not got the liberty, the life, and the light of the children of God? Believing. Oh, it's Lord, let me know. Let me know my heart. I know the witness in my heart. Oh, I have a head knowledge. I've been told it. I've grown up in chapel. I know there's a God. I know there's a God in heaven. And I know that Jesus came, his son. And I know that he was born at Bethlehem. And I know he was holy and spotless and perfect in all ways. I know he is the eternal Son of God. I know it. And I know that he lived a life free from sin, and he did much good. And I know that he laid that life down. I know he was nailed to the cross at Calvary. And I know that on the third day he rose again, and I know, I've read it. I understand it. He ascended into heaven, and I know he's at the Father's right hand. But did he do it for me? Did he do it for me? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Is he precious to you? You know, you may not have everything or much of what you wish for this evening, and much that you pray for this evening in your religion. But is Christ precious to you? Can you live without him? Can you do without him? Oh, you may not have all the full assurance of your faith. You may not be living in that full assurance of faith. But can you go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow and not need him? Can you live tomorrow without him? Or do you look to him? Do you need him? He's in your esteem. Needful. He's necessary for you. He's a place of honour in your heart. You might not know him as intimately as you wish and pray for. He may not be as revealed fully as you wish. But is he in any way precious to you? And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, he is precious. Oh, he's precious to his people for who he is. Oh, he's a rock, beloved friends. Man shall be a hiding place from the storm as Christ Jesus. It's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Have you had to come and creep low at his feet? Pray that he might cast a shadow over you. That the great heat and burden of your sin you might find some relief. Oh, is you in your pilgrimage? Is he a rock? in your life. He says he's a rock. Though he's dependable, God, none shall be confounded. None shall be ashamed that put their trust in him. None shall make haste that put their trust in him. He's a rock of stability. He's the one true foundation. And he's been laid. He's been laid as a cornerstone. To bind together. Oh, for poor needy sinners to build their hopes on. Something sure, something steadfast in an unsure, an uncertain world. Oh, he's precious to those that know something of him. Precious to those that know something of themselves. Sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Oh, he's precious in who he is, the eternal Son of God. He's precious in what he's done, that finished work which he has accomplished. And he's precious as a risen, exalted Saviour. Every step of his life, every movement of his lips, every touch of his hands is precious. Has he touched your heart and mine? Oh, wonderful thing, beloved friends, isn't it? If you've had what it is to be, know what it is to be moved. If you're dead, cold heart, to be stirred in a drawing, the attraction of Christ. Now, you say, that my soul could love and praise him more. I feel to know so little. Oh, that my love would be immense, overflowing. But have you got some love toward him? Now, something in your heart that goes out toward him. Oh, you have a little hope in your heart that he's done something for you. Oh, maybe there's a sweet persuasion that he can't say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you've been to his feet. Oh, you've looked upon him by faith. No, it's not your believing which you're trusting in this evening. It's not your faith which you're trusting in this evening. It's where your faith is placed. It's the object of your faith. It's Christ Jesus. Oh, how precious. Oh, has he proved to be a friend to you? One that you can go to when all else fails, when no one really understands. Maybe there's things that you couldn't even tell your nearest and dearest, but you've had to tell him in way of confession. You've had to tell him. Oh, he's drawn out of you your secret sins. And maybe you've not told a single soul. Oh, but you've been drawn to pour out your heart, to confess, to empty the tent of your heart. Oh, and he hasn't dealt with you after your sin, has he? Oh, is he precious? He receives sinners to himself. He's not precious to the self-righteous. The righteous, he didn't come to save. Sinners. Oh, he's precious to the wounded. He's precious to the sin-sick. Not to those that are whole and need no physician. Oh, he's precious to the bankrupt who's got a great debt and he's got nothing to pay. How precious. Oh, when it's all paid. I felt sense that it's all paid. There's nothing to pay. I have paid the price. Fear not, for I've redeemed thee, purchased, brought, paid the price, satisfied the debt. It's written off to be remembered no more, to held before you no more. Oh, the preciousness of him who can blot out the deep, dark sins, the sins that are against light and knowledge, the sins of backsliding. Oh, how precious he is when he whispers, "Return unto me." Oh, you say, how precious is the word come. Beloved friends, how precious is it? Return. Return. Oh, you filthy, treacherous sinner, return. Oh, come. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Where unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them, what a but this is, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed might be disallowed by them, might be rejected by them, but that stone is, it has an effect. Though he is precious, he's precious to his people. But that same stone, that was disallowed of the builders, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Oh, how solemn. They were appointed, hardened. Oh, hardened. No, not vessels of mercy. No, not chosen to receive, to hear, to believe. Hardened. Oh, beloved friends, that should fill our hearts with dread, shouldn't it? The two things that are set forth here, two distinct groups, those that find him precious, those to whom he's made precious, those to whom he's needful, those to whom he's the all and in all, those to whom he's the altogether lovely, and those that see no beauty in him, those that despise and reject him, those that have no need, and whatever form of blindness is upon them, they see no need. They're either satisfied with their own religion or blind to the fact that they have a need as sinners. Deaf to the warnings in God's word. Oh, should that not fill our hearts with dread? Am I? What part have I got? Am I made a real Christian? Oh, does it concern you and does it concern me? Be a poor thing if he was once precious, but now we're not so sure, wouldn't it? I ask you in love and carefully this evening, what are you resting on? What are you resting on? What are you trusting in? Are you like Paul? Are you pressing toward the mark? Are you not satisfied? These things are behind me. I'm reaching forth to the things that are before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You desire this evening that I may know him, that I may be found in him, oh, that I might know more of him, that I might know more of his sweet visits, oh, that he might come unto me as in days gone by, that he visit me with his salvation. Oh, that he'd restore Restore the joy of thy salvation. Oh, is that your desire? You can't live on past blessings. Oh, you want a fresh token. Like the children of Israel, manna, day by day. Oh, you want something fresh. Some fresh touch, from some fresh token. Oh, make thyself precious again. Oh, let my heart be overflowing again. Oh, Lord, let me feel the unction of thy love. Oh, let me feel that touch. Oh, let me know, let me hear thy voice. Oh, let me feel the word in power. Oh, say to my soul, I am thy salvation. There's five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. What a warning. All slept. All outwardly had the same. They had a lamp. They had the dress. They had some oil, for they were able to trim their lamps. But they all slept, the wise and the foolish. What could separate them? Natural eye couldn't. Something missing, something lacking. There was something there, but it wasn't enough. And when the bridegroom came, well, they went out to meet him. And the five foolish virgins, well, they found, they trimmed their lamps and they soon went out. No oil, lacking. All this slumbering and sleeping, sins of presumption. And the five wise, give us this oil, give us of your oil. But you can't, can you? You can't transfer. Grace isn't transferred from sinner to sinner. Oh, it is from the fountain that's it obtained. Oh, it freely flows from Jesus. Oh, the oil of grace. And yet, oh, the solemnness, too late. Too late. And they went to buy. The bridegroom came and the door was shut. Plenty of time. I'm ready. Never doubting. Never fearing. Never questioning. No self-examination. What did David say? Oh, search me. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, leave me not to sins of presumption. Leave me not to think I'm right and I'm coming short. Oh, but make me a real Christian. Oh, let me have the witness in my heart that I'm born of God. Oh, may I know the peace and the joy and the life and the liberty. Oh, let me know something, some tokens that Jesus died for me. Bring it from my head into my heart. Oh, that I know that, oh, he came and lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven for me. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Well, only you know your own heart and God. Oh, only you really know how precious or not he is. Oh, but what a sweet token. Oh, what a comfort, what an encouragement for poor, doubting sinners maybe this evening to view what he means. To see what he means. The Lord will bring you to consider, to reflect upon what Christ means to you. In the Song of Solomon, the bride says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Oh, he is a friend, one that sticketh closer than a brother, that loveth at all times, one who changes not, sure and certain and steadfast rock to build hopes of heaven upon. No hope in self I find, but where can it be found? On the rock, Christ Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the same that the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gerald Buss will preach next Lord's Day and at our Thanksgiving services on Saturday week. Let us close with hymn 312. Ye tempted souls, reflect whose name 'tis you profess. Your master's lot you must expect, temptations more or less. Hymn 312.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.